Welcome to The Mindful Dog Parent, the podcast for overwhelmed and anxious dog owners who are doing their best but still feel like they're getting it all wrong. I'm Sian, a trauma-informed coach and ethical dog trainer. I created this podcast because dog parenting isn't always cute reels and perfect walks. Sometimes it's tears after training, guilt in the quiet moments, or just feeling like you're the only one struggling. If you've ever said, I love my dog, but this is really hard, you're in the right place. Each week, I'll bring you calm, compassionate guidance to help you build confidence, regulate your emotions, and reconnect with your dog, even when things feel messy. Because you're not failing, you're just overwhelmed, and you don't have to figure this out on your own. Today, we're talking about something you might not even realise is part of your training journey. It's not leads, it's not treats, and it's not routines. It is emotions. More specifically, why your dog, the one that you love so much, can sometimes make you feel frustrated, tearful, anxious, or even sometimes out of control. We're gonna talk about what emotional triggers are, why dog parenting brings them up, and what you can do about it. So if you've ever asked yourself, why am I reacting this way? Why does this feel so hard? Or why can't I just stay calm? This episode is for you. Let me paint a scene. Your dog lunges at a jogger, or they bark for what feels like the 400th time that morning. You feel your whole body clenching. Your breathing goes shallow. You snap. Maybe at your dog, maybe at yourself. And then comes the guilt and the shame and that crushing voice that says, you're failing. Does that sound familiar? This is one of the most common things I hear from my clients and one of the most personal things I can share with you too. Even as a trainer, I've had days where I've gone to bed crying after a walk, not because of what my dog did, but because of what it brought up in me. The fear of being judged, the shame of not getting it right, the grief of a dream dog experience I thought I'd have, and dream dog is in inverted commas. You're not overreacting and you're not weak. You're a human being with a nervous system and a past, and dog parenting is bringing it to the surface. Now here's what most traditional dog training ignores. Your dog's behaviour doesn't exist in a vacuum. It does impact you deeply. Especially if you've ever been told to be the calm one or keep it together, if you've ever felt like your worth is tied to getting things right, if you've ever grown up feeling responsible for other people's emotions, or if you've had past trauma, anxiety, burnout, or chronic stress. Dog behaviour can mirror your inner world because it can trigger that fear of being out of control, the shame that you're not enough, the frustration at yourself or your dog. It can even flash back to earlier painful life experiences. And because dogs don't speak our language, their behaviour can feel really confusing or even personal. I have had clients say to me before, I think my dog hates me, or I've got the feeling that they think that that's the case. My dog doesn't like me, I've heard that as well. And I can honestly say there's other things going on. Your dog's not doing this to you, but your feelings about it are real and they deserve space, understanding and compassion. Now I'm talking about this from personal experience myself as well. I have been the person who has snapped at my dog, and again, I've written a story on this in my email newsletter. I'm honest about who I was, who I am, and I think that then gives me the freedom to be kind to myself, to say, I had this reaction, why did I have this reaction, and what can I do to try and prevent this shame and guilt and frustration from coming out so strongly next time? Because my dog's reaction to that frustration that came out of me that one time, I'm not somebody who loses a temper a lot. I'm somebody who, and I've had this feedback from clients and friends have said it as well, I'm really patient. So being pushed to my limit takes a lot. It never used to, but I've done the work to get me to that place where I have got a lot more patience. And that's where I think this work really starts to help. So it is coming from a place of personal experience, and this kind of stuff really will start to hit home a little bit maybe for you, or you might have to sit with the episode a little bit and maybe listen to it again and see what it brings up for you. But it's definitely something that I think needs talking about, again, just like the last episode with guilt. If you've not listened to that episode yet, I think that's a topic that doesn't get talked about enough, just like this. So I want to redefine what being triggered actually means, because it doesn't mean that you're broken or bad. It means that your nervous system's interpreting something, for example, the barking, the pulling, or just some general chaos at home, as a threat. Even if your logical brain knows you're safe, your body's responding to a deeper story. So that story might sound like, and this is very personal to you, but it might sound like the words of, you're failing again, people are judging you, you're not in control. So the trick isn't to shut those feelings down, it's to notice them and to learn how to regulate your response. That is what emotional resilience is, and it's what helps you to show up for your dog from a place of calm and not from a place where you're reacting or from a place of crisis. So just think about that story. I want you to redefine what being triggered actually means, because it doesn't mean anything bad. It means you're human, definitely. Just like I realised, I was triggered. I'd had too many things pushing me on that day, and that one last thing pushed me to the point where I was getting snappy. So think about what that deeper story is for you, and why your potential reaction is that this particular situation is a threat, because it's your nervous system. All of the things going on in your body is telling you that this is a threat. So fight, flight or freeze, most people have heard of that. It goes deeper than that. There's a lot of different elements to nervous system dysregulation. Everybody gets it. It's not something that people are immune to. But again, I want you to think about what that is, and I want you to start to notice them, because that is how you can start to realise that your nervous system's dysregulated, and you can start to put things into place to help regulate your system again. It might take some repetition, but your body needs to learn that you're safe again. So I want to share a simple grounding technique that I've learnt from my coaches, and I want to teach you as well, and it's called the 30 second reset. So this is something that should be 30 seconds max. It's not going to take over your day. It's something really quick, something really simple, and it's something really effective, because we are trying to tell your body that it's safe again here. We're trying to ground you in a place of regulation, so you can come at this thing again the next time from a better place. So the more you do this, the easier it gets. And there's only four steps to it. So when you start to feel the wave of overwhelm hit, and really try to have that awareness, because it's really going to help you, I want you to, if it's safe to do so, physically stop. So I want you to pause. So just stop what you're doing if it's safe to do it. And I want you to exhale slowly. There's different ways of doing it, but I like to do the 4-6. So all that involves is breathing in and counting to four in your head as you breathe in. Hold that breath for 4 seconds and then breathe out for 6 seconds. So your exhale needs to be longer than your inhale, and that is what starts to regulate your nervous system. That's what helps with the regulation. So count in for four, hold for four, and breathe out for 6. And try and aim for a sigh. So I want you to really put the effort into it sounding like a sigh. Then I want you to notice three things around you. So that could be wherever you are, the feel of your lead, if the lead is what's in your hand at that moment, what your dog's fur feels like if you are able to touch your dog, and the feel of your feet on the ground. So really think about what it feels like to be standing on this point and anchoring down to the ground. You can notice three things, whether you feel something, smell something, see something, whatever it is, the smell. So if you've got coffee, what does that smell like? If you're eating something, the texture. So I always use chocolate as my example. put in that piece of chocolate in your mouth, letting it melt on your tongue, just notice how that feels and what it tastes like. So noticing three things around you. Then I want to say this out loud. This moment is hard, but I am safe. I'm allowed to feel. I can reset. So I'll say that again. This moment's hard, but I am safe. I'm allowed to feel. I can reset. So those are the four things. Pausing, box breathing, noticing three things around you, and saying that little affirmation in your head. If you only do the affirmation, it won't be as effective because your body isn't coming from a regulated place when you say it. You need to do those other things first for that little bit of pep talk to have an effect the next time round. Now, that 30 seconds might not fix everything, but it does give your brain a signal that you're not in danger and that you are actually in control of how you respond. And that is the powerful point to this. So it's not about completely transforming every single reaction moving forward. That's not what it's going to do. It will start to have slow and steady improvements to your reactions because your body is coming at it from a place of feeling safer the next time it happens. So if your dog is barking and your instinct now, this is something I used to do with my old dog Maisie. She barked a lot. She was a barker. She barked at all sorts of things. And my initial reaction was always to shout back. So I joined in. I was barking with her. I was telling her to shut up because it was annoying. I never really thought any more into it because I was just coming from a reactive place, just like she was. So she was shouting, telling me something was there or telling somebody off for being there or whatever it was. And I was joining in, shouting at her from a place of dysregulation and very much being triggered. It never worked. It would never stop her from doing it. Why would it? But that is what I want to be able to change, because then I started to realise that it wasn't working. Why wasn't it working? I need to help myself to not have that reaction straight away, and therefore I can then help her because I'm coming at things from a calmer place, and I know then what my strategy will be moving forward. I have a strategy in my head. This is what I'm going to do to help her through this emotional time because I've helped myself first through this 30 second reset. So like I say, it's not going to fix everything, but it's going to help your body to feel safe the next time it happens and the time after that, till you get to a point of knowing that you're in control of how you respond and you can come back at it from a place of being proactive rather than reactive. And that's always a good place to be. If your dog's behaviour is pushing you to the edge emotionally, it doesn't mean that you're weak. It doesn't mean that you're failing. It just means that you're human. And I'm going to say this a lot. You are human with human emotions, and your dog has those strong emotions as well for whatever reason. It doesn't mean anything except that you're human. And if this episode is the first time someone said that to you, then I want to say it clearly. Your emotions matter in this relationship. Your regulation is just as important as your dog's training. And when we start from here with compassion for you, everything else gets easier. And I am talking this from experience. I have been the dog mum who has been reactive, like I said. And I've worked on these things, and I'm still working on nervous system regulation. I don't think it's something that you ever stop because of the world that we live in and the kind of things that we have to deal with on a daily basis. Our body is having a very normal reaction to the amount of stress that we have to deal with on a daily basis. But if we can do these 30 second resets, if we can do these things to help ourselves to reset and regulate and ground ourselves, we're definitely going to come at it from a better place for our dogs. I can guarantee it because I have done it myself. So if this episode resonated with you, I'd really love for you to download my free guide, Practical Strategies for Overwhelmed Dog Parents. It is gentle, it's supportive, and it's designed to help you feel less alone and more empowered as a dog parent. You'll find the link in the show notes for this episode. And if you're enjoying the podcast, I would be so grateful if you could follow, if you could give me a rating, or if you could share it with another dog parent who might need this message today, because that's an important message I want everyone to hear, and I want everybody to start to do these things. Thanks for being here with me and for being brave enough to look inward even when it's hard. I'll see you next time on The Mindful Dog Parent. Thanks so much for tuning in to The Mindful Dog Parent. If this episode gave you something to think about, or it just made you feel a little less alone, I would love it if you followed the show and shared it with another dog parent who needs it. You'll find all the links and resources mentioned in the show notes at lavendergardenanimalservices.co.uk/podcast. And I would love to stay in touch, so head there if you want to explore more ways to work with me or get support.